Good morning.
Good morning.
What would it take for me to get you to change your mind? If I were to have a conversation with you about anything that you hold close to your heart, any idea that you hold in your head, what would it take for another person to change your mind? I would say sometimes it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible for one person to get another person to change their mind if they have something set. If they perceive the world in a particular way, if they have a particular viewpoint, it's really difficult. A great example of this is, and you've probably seen this floating around in different places, there's a truck stuck under a bridge. Just stuck just enough and it can't get through, and there's the police and the fire and firemen and all kinds of people standing around, and there's a committee meeting about it. Over on the other way, there's a vestry, I'm sure, from some church next door. And they're there, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And no one can figure out how to get this truck unstuck. And the little boy comes up and says, "Let the air out of the tires." And the truck is lowered, and it's released from its entrapment. Really, in the realm of ideas, in the realm of our heart, sometimes we are so stuck in one perspective, in one perception, in one idea. The world in Jesus' time was ruled by a tyrant called Caesar. And this rule was firm. This rule was all-encompassing and very powerful. It's hard for us really to imagine. We have the symbol of the cross as a symbol of something that means something to us, of love, of sacrifice. But in the time of Jesus, crosses would have lined the streets for a sole purpose of oppression, to show who's in charge and who is enslaved. In fact, some scholars argue that around 90 to 95% of the population was enslaved at the time of Jesus when he lived. Not free. Tied to households, tied to labor, tied to work, tied to their particular status. There was no moving up or down the ladder. There was no sense of freedom. There was the way the world was, the way the world is, and the way the world is going to be. And it was a way of violence. And I think we sometimes miss that. And along comes Jesus, and he says there's another way. There's a different way. And let me change your hearts. Sometimes when we read the gospel, we might expect that, I think some of the followers of Jesus thought when they came triumphantly into Jerusalem, they're going to proclaim the revolution and everyone would be free. And they would throw off the tyrant of Rome, just as those in the past had thrown off the tyrants of Egypt, and they would be free. And it doesn't quite come out the way they thought. It doesn't quite happen quite like some wanted it to. Instead, Jesus shows a way of sharing a meal. Jesus shows a way of self-sacrifice. And Jesus shows how love and conquer death. I think sometimes it's hard for us to grasp, but the ideas in the gospel, the way of the gospel is one of love. It's a way in which we're called, if we see someone with nothing, to share. If someone is hungry and we have food, it is to share it with them. If someone is naked and we have clothing, it is to give it to them. If someone is in prison, it is to visit them and to minister to them and to work for their release. It is all these things. And it sounds nice. And it sounds wonderful. But it requires one really critical thing. And that's a change of our heart. It's a change of our perspective. It's a change of our understanding. In a few minutes, we're going to hear the Passion narrative. And it's filled with drama. We have Pilate, We have centurions, we have guards, we have Peter being denied, we have all these great elements of the story. But underneath it, Jesus is asking us to change our heart. Man, it's hard. Some of you, I bet, started off Lent maybe giving something up. And the good news is you only have about 7 days left, a little less than seven now that we're partway through Sunday, right? And some of you decided to give something up and you only made it a few days. You only have 7 days left of that guilt riding on you. Maybe you took something new on. Maybe you studied something, or maybe you devoted some time to prayer. We don't do that just so we can have something to do for 6 weeks. We do it to open space in our lives. By giving something up, when we miss that thing, it is to call us back to God, to open a small space in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. When we take something on, it's much to do the same way, to allow us to have that moment of space, to let God in. The change is a challenge. And it may take a life's work to really do that. This is a beautiful building. It's a beautiful altar and cross. It's a place built with brick and steel and aluminum and all kinds of other stuff. But it's just a place. Believe it or not, we always call these churches, but it's not the church. It isn't. The church is here. And that's the biggest thing that changes with Jesus is it says, God is here. God is with you. God is, when two of you are gathered and you pray, God is there. God is here. And if we want the world to change, it starts here. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've not yet come into my hour. Father, let this cup pass from me, but only if it is thy will. Jesus wants us to change, to see in our neighbor that they are a child of God, to not see others as less than, to not cast them out because they're different. Jesus wants us to see that God is dwelling with us and that all things are possible. If we want to change, we start here. And then when we love, love wins. This is Holy Week. It's a time for Christians when we begin to remember and we walk through each moment and hour and day of the story. And it's a chance for us once again to be inspired, to be encouraged, to be called back to that same change of heart. The world is violent. The world is dark at times. And no matter how beautiful this building is, if we don't go out with our hearts, we can't make a difference. So will you change your mind? Will you change your heart? It's up to you. Amen.